start the recording, and I would like to call the meeting to order my session at 7:02 p.m. Before I even do the roll call of the Board of Directors, I want to go over the logistics of the meeting a little bit. On March 14th, 2020, Governor Lamont signed Executive Order 7B, and that temporarily suspended the requirement of in-person meetings from municipalities. And by that virtue, it allowed for remote meetings such as we are having today. There were five provisions to that, which I'd like to just quickly summarize. One is that the public has the ability to view or listen to the meeting in real time, that the meeting can be recorded or transcribed and available on the website within 7 days, that the notice and agenda be posted on the website, that materials relevant to the meeting be on the website, and that all speakers state their name and title, if applicable, every time they speak. So I would ask that after we do the roll call, that Jason or Lee, you mute everybody. I'd ask people that are in their homes that they turn off their TVs or radios so that we don't have a lot of feedback, we don't have a lot of background noise. And raise your hand or signal somehow your desire to speak during the meeting. Everybody okay with the logistics?
Yep.
Okay. I'd like to have the roll call then. Kathy.
Yes.
Bonnie Sedell.
Yes.
Cindy Biancamano.
Yes.
Jeff Conway.
Here.
Jan DePratty.
Here.
Hema De Silva. Not here. Jason Griffin.
Here.
Gary. That's your last name.
Here.
Peterson.
Peterson. Here.
Kathy Sabo. Here. Bill Taylor. Not here. Ed Bader is here. Ed Bader?
Here.
Is Lee going to be here?
Here.
Okay.
He's here. He's just not on camera.
Okay. And I see that we have some other people in attendance. Shall I call their names as well?
Yes, please. We want to recognize everyone who is.
Okay. I'm looking at the name of Rob White. Right? Is that correct?
Right. Correct. Homeowner.
Okay. And Felicia Tenza.
She's muted.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Karen Poirier. She's muted as well, I guess.
Did it tell if she's here or not?
And Bob, you're coming up as Fran, but.
Yes, right here.
And
Bob Byron.
Yep, and your last name is Byron?
Correct.
And there's somebody, caller one. I have no idea who that is.
That's Stephen and Leslie Mokentine. Homeowner, 281 Lakeshore Drive.
Okay, Stephen, could you spell your last name for me?
Sure. M-A-L-A-E-N.
Start over again. I didn't hear the beginning. I'm sorry. Start over again.
M-O-L.
Yep.
K-E-N. P-H-I-N.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
That's everybody.
Okay. Okay. We definitely have a quorum, so we are able to have this meeting. The next item on the agenda is the public comment portion. This is an opportunity.
Muted.
This is an opportunity for the members of the public to comment. We want you to understand that no action will be taken tonight on the matters that are brought up, and definitely express your opinions during the public comment session. And I didn't follow my rules of Bonnie Shadell President speaking.
So would you like someone to raise their hand who wants to speak?
Yes, please.
Would you like someone to go first? I don't know the business of Felicia and Karen.
It doesn't really matter. Anyone can go. Would you like to start, Rob?
I'd be happy to start. Thank you very much. So I'm calling as a concerned citizen. I understand the needs for surveys and understanding Puyallup property very clearly. However, I would offer that the properties at Lake Hayward are known by the town and by the Lake Association to maybe not be as exact as one would think, and that to survey specific points within the boundaries from the far ends left and right has produced changes that we are not accustomed to as those who have been living here, and specifically affecting me by a shift of 10 feet on some lakefront, and my two neighbors who are online there by the right-of-way access by 10 feet. And I wanted to share that I have concerns about this shift as I tried to have conversations and meet with the surveyors. The surveyors in their own language identified they did the best they could in terms of starting at one end of the lake and working their way down and the other way, end of the lake working their way back. We all know that at one pass, the lines seem pretty consistent, and on the second pass, they shifted. And so I know you could say that my lakefront property is one problem and the right-of-way is another problem, but my concern is that it appears to be that 10 feet has shifted altogether. And that this shift is something that's foreign to us. And I would point, if you have it your own computer, if you would go to the Lake Hayward page, specifically to the properties page, and then the pictures page. I can try and show this to you online, but you can go there yourself pretty adequately. You would scroll down to page 13 of 35. You will see the right-of-way as the town has known it.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't find out that.
Is everyone there with me? Do you want me to walk you through the click to the process on your computer?
You might as well, Rob.
Okay, so what you need to do is go to the main page, then click on communications.
Rob, right.
And click on Puyallup owned properties.
I don't know what you're talking about, Lake Hayward.
I'm talking about your Lake Hayward website.
Oh.
Puyallup owned property, social events, owner's guide, communications. On communications, Puyallup owned properties. And then on Puyallup owned properties, click for photo presentation. And you'll see there's a photo documentation of all the association properties. Circa 2007. It's 25 pages. If you would be so kind as to click down to page 13, you will see the right-of-way as it has been as long as I've known. I've known all three owners of the houses, both the McIntyre now own and the Byrons own. And you will see that there are trees, shrubs, and trachysandra in what the Lake Association is now identifying as their property. In 2007, this was the right-of-way as it's always been known. This right-of-way was modified by both the lake and the town to put in a catch basin and water runoff. If you click to page 14, one page down, you'll see the same right-of-way from the top. And you will see that the town and the Lake Association has a road there and a sign there that says Lake right away. The new survey shifts that over about 3 feet off the road and goes right through that hedge line as well. So I just contest that anyone who's owned these properties, even though the Lake Association has identified them as such, this is how we've always known it. And to, after the fact, do a survey and shift it now, everyone's boundaries, everyone's fences, everyone's done what they've done based on this being marked right-of-way and being identified as such, it makes it hard now to say, okay, let's shift over 10 feet. The surveyor's own solution to me was to push on my neighbor opposite the Byrons and suggest that they were now 10 feet on my property that way. My worry for the entire Lake Association is the fact that we're all going to have to get attorneys and have boundary battles because we're all being shifted. And if every right-of-way in the middle of the entirety of the Lake Association has any lines like this, you're going to have people shifting left and right. It would take you now back up to slide number 3, which then addresses my specific issue. You can see someone in the Lake Association made a specific effort to capture this and put arrows in, and you will see that the arrows identifying the waterfront reserve beach of the Lake Association is relatively consistent as we've always known it, and leaves the Byrons with their 10 feet, and it doesn't encroach on my lakefront property. And I clearly understand that you have a survey. I also have a survey. It's an A2 survey. It's been accepted by the town. It's been there longer than I've owned this house. And now it's going to come to attorneys to make decisions as to whose survey is right. I also am having my survey updated and having my 10s put in place and re-identified because of this at my own expense. And it's just frustrating when anyone, including Lake Association, has identified these boundaries as such, and now we're being told they're not accurate and that it's our job to go get new surveys and to get attorneys and to start boundary problems. And I can't imagine. I know I've been told that this is a pilot study and this is only 2 have been done. I can't imagine that this is not going to happen everywhere you have a right-of-way. And as you know, some of the right-of-ways have stone walls, have hard fixtures. You start shifting people 10 feet left and right from what's been established. I think you're going to have problems, and I'm a concerned citizen. I identify it as such. I also note that this property is of no benefit to the Lake Association to alter or change. I would note that the right-of-way, as it currently exists, and I could show you photos if you'd like me to hold them up, has no burden of anybody not being able to pass through. You can easily walk through. If you, in fact, do walk through, you will see where the old railroad ties are from the 1950s era right-of-way. So I'm asking the board, before they start rolling this out, to consider the fact that you have your own evidence, you have your own arrows, you spent your own energy as to what had been. You're now telling it's different. It's now coming to an expense of us landowners to shift our properties and to seek legal counsel to identify this. And I would ask you to consider that where you have a right-of-way and where existing boundaries and tens have existed, either through the fact of time itself, because all these places have tens, there are tens. This new survey doesn't agree with the tens that are established. I don't know what to do about that. Unless the Lake Association wants to survey the entirety of the lake, and then make up those differences where you get the what they call the slinky shift, where you're adjusting left and right, I don't know what to do. I think you're headed for legal issues left and right. I've conversed with the town. I've talked to the land management folks. I'm not finding any support for your survey or your map or the problems that it's going to cause as being something of benefit and a greater good. I do, again, I admit, you want to understand your boundaries. I understand you want to understand your properties. You have liability. I understand that. But I, at this point in time, I don't have any alternative unless you would like to offer me something. Any comments to that? Any reference to the 2007 images on the website identifying these property boundaries?
Mr. Ponce, thank you for this,
Yes, I'm not going to add
I can't hear you.
Did you have more to say, Rob?
Would you have interest in seeing the photos that exist now? It's not going to work. Never mind. I have photos now. If you wanted to look and you've seen, there is readily access to the right-of-way, and where the 10 feet on the lakefront, there are existing pens that are there. And again, it's going to come then to attorneys to decide which pens are right or wrong. And I don't have any other solution unless you want to engage in some kind of meaningful discussion about this. So I don't have anything more to add. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to say a few words if I can, please.
Who is there with it?
This is Robert Byron.
Who's
283 Lakeshore Drive. The camera froze. Sorry for us to tell you your camera froze, so it's just a static picture of you. Can you fix this? Can you see me all right, or? Well, it's just a you're not moving, but you can talk. That's fine. Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Everybody hear me? Bonnie, could you hear me?
This is Bonnie Fidel. Yes, I can hear you.
I appreciate it. First, I want to wish everybody well. Hopefully you had a good winter and stay safe, which all is going on here today. I agree with Rob. Rob is my next-door neighbor. I've been there roughly around 8 years. When I bought and paid for the property, I went by the pin lines that were there. The attorneys looked at it, and they assured me I have title insurance that the property that I paid for is what I expected that I have. Any deviation of the property would obviously cost depreciation in my property, which I don't want to see. I do pay my taxes every year. I pay my association dues. When I first got there, it was totally eroded. The rain had gotten to it, washed mostly everything out into the street right on Lakeshore Drive. I came in with a neighbor who was digging out for a patio, and I said, he put the topsoil on this area where it's eroded. He came down with the excavator and literally laid it out for me. I raked it all out and put seed in there just so that you can have a better way to get from the right-of-way down to Lakeshore Drive. I put seed. I've been maintaining it ever since, cutting the grass, weed whacking, and when I couldn't do it, I would hire somebody to do it. Now, I got a letter from Bonnie. It was kind of a nasty letter. I really didn't appreciate it too much. Like I said, I am a taxpayer there, and I thought I deserve a little bit more credit. She put it in bold writing. She didn't leave a return address on it. So I'm going to speak about it right now. I think it was wrong to send me that letter, especially when you don't know there's two sides to the story. There's my side and there's your side. Well, my side is saying that I am right. Your side, of course, is saying that I am wrong. I know what I bought. I know what I paid for. I'm not going to, out of the clear blue sky, try and take something that's not mine. I've never done it, and I never have any intentions of doing it. That property was mine. It's on the deed, and my attorneys are willing to act on this. If it's not straightened out, I am not going to take this sitting down. I'm just not, because it belongs to me. And if you guys just can't overlook it, overlook what I did to make that property what it is today, to make that right-of-way what it is today, and like I said, I bought and paid for the land, and I'm going to fight for whatever's mine. And I go along with Rob the same way. You're only opening up a can of worms by moving everybody over 10 feet. I don't know where you come up with that. I know where my stakes are. And my stakes say that I'm on my property. I would never, never encroach. I did clean up a little bit across the street so it looks a little bit better, because I want everything to look nice. I want to be a good, good, good resident there on 283 Lakeshore Drive. I want people to know who I am. I'm a nice person. I'll do whatever I can. I'll do whatever I can for the association. And I'm a hardworking person, and I want to keep the appearances up all over the lake. It's not my property alone. Now, I know I got a letter saying that I have to clean it up, take everything down, or you're going to do this. I don't know if I'm going to be there this year. I'm going to try and make it up because of what's going on now with the coronavirus. I'm going to be very upset if I can't make it there this year. But I am going to keep an eye on what's going on. I'm going to be in touch with Rob. And means going to the next step, to the next level, as far as getting attorneys involved. I already have who I'm going to use. And why do you want to spend money on association money for frivolous, and I mean frivolous, lawsuit? Think about it. Really, really and truly think about it. Is this what you want? Come on. I appreciate the time, and I appreciate all of you, and I have nothing against anyone at the association. I know you're doing your job, and I know, Bonnie, I was kind of a thank you staff at times. Appreciate you taking over, and your leadership is be appreciated. But I want to thank everybody for listening to me, and God bless everyone that he says. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Byron. This is Bonnie Segal, President again. Is there anyone else who would like to speak during the public comment section?
Unmuted.
Shut up.
Can you hear me?
Who's that?
It's Felicia. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good. Just want to say that I appreciate the hard work you all did to pull this go-to meeting together. Hopefully it works out really smoothly. Even though I'm on 22 Forest Way, I am calling in from Florida. Given the circumstances, I'm not quite sure where I'm going to get north, but I do look forward to coming back to the lake. And we thank you for the extraordinary effort you have to do running the association in these circumstances. So many thanks, guys.
Thank you very much, Felicia. Again, this is Bonnie Segal. Is there anyone else from the public that would like to?
If they would just like to ask us a quick question, I'll sign off. Oh, I'm sorry, Catherine Sabo, you want to go first?
That's okay. I just wanted to, I didn't know if Rob and Bob kind of knew during the public comment section as board members, we're not supposed to engage in conversation with you. So I just wanted to let you know that, and thank you for bringing all those valid points. I enjoyed listening to them. So I just want to let you know that that's why no one was answering you when you were trying to have a conversation with us. Okay?
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I guess that's my question then. Can there be a forum before actions occur where we can actually engage in a meaningful dialogue? And you don't have to answer that, but like I would like to know how to progress. I actually have a project that I have on hold. That's not your problem, that's mine, but I need to know where my property boundaries are before I advance. So I really would like to know, how can we have a meaningful dialogue and even say, you know what, we can't solve this problem, at which point we'll all do what we need to do, or can we open up to a dialogue? Or if information, is it possible that you as the board might ask yourself and then let us know a different decision process being made? So what comes next is my question.
This is Bonnie Segal, President again. We will take all comments under consideration.
Okay. If you could be so kind as just let me know in the next 3 or 4 weeks what the next steps might be, I would greatly appreciate it. That's all I would ask. If you want to contact me directly, I've been motivating and, you know, talking to my neighbors. This affects me directly. I would just like to know where to progress. So if you can give me some kind of guidelines, I would greatly appreciate it. Thank you. I'm going to sign off then, unless there's more you need of us.
Thank you.
This is Jason Griffin, board member. I just want to acknowledge that Kevin Poirier seems to be a caller. I can't unmute. So I'm not sure if she's trying to talk or not trying to talk or just listening, but if she can hear us, we're not avoiding her and trying not to let her talk. But for some reason, she hasn't unmuted herself. We can't unmute her, so if she's trying to, I apologize for no way to... we just can't hear you. If you are trying to talk.
This time, Mr. President, I would suggest that Karen Fourier would like to speak, that she sign out of the meeting and try to sign back on. Perhaps she will be able to unmute herself that much.
Karen's number.
And again, in the meantime, caller 01 is unmuted, and we do not know who that person is.
Yes, we do.
Do you want to speak? Who's that? That's Steve Motion.
Yes, I had identified myself. I was here listening to Rob and Bob speak. This is Stephen Wilkinson. I'm at 281 Lakeshore. I was here listening. I had nothing more to add. I thought they spoke very eloquently about it.
Thank you, Bill Preston. Thank you very much, Steve. Is there anyone else? Again, bottom to Bill Preston. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in the public comments? Right. Thank you very much. Again, as I said before, we will take your comments under advisement, and we would ask that if you stay on the meeting, that you can use your phones and signals.
Yeah, Bob Byron here. I'm signing off, and like I said, have a safe year, and hopefully everything will get to see you soon. And if there's any results, I'd like to call you or call my neighbor Bob. Thank you.
Thank you. I will move on to the president's report. Again, I am Bonnie Tudell, president. I want to first say that we did not have a quorum for our February meeting. Therefore, we did not have a legal meeting in February. I received several correspondence, either calls, emails, or texts over the past month or so. I received some correspondence from Nino Murphy, requesting that I contact seasonal residents, telling them to stay away
from
I received a message from Don Smith, who was advising me that during a live broadcast with the First Selection of Colchester, a remark was made about youth congregating on our basketball court. Someone advised them that the basketball courts at Lake Hayward were in East Chatham, not in Colchester, and that ended the conversation with the First Selection of Colchester. I received an email from Carolyn Raglin requesting contact information for Connecticut Water to find out when they were going to be turning the water on. And just last evening, I received a phone call from Linda Ryder-Munay, expressing concerns for activities taking place at the lake this summer due to COVID-19. And that is the end of my president's report. I would like to move on to the financial reports. I'd like to ask our treasurer, Steve Griffin, to present his treasurer's report, please.
Good evening, Lee Griffin, treasurer. I sent out to the board members and also to Mike Trocci, who posted the material on the website. I provided you with a budget. There hasn't been much activity in the last few months. We did then complete the dredging project and the final purchase of the scheme property. Sent you an income and expense report for the last 4 months, keeping in mind the income and expense is the actual. This includes everything. The budget only includes items that are budgeted. The dredging is finalized. The members approved 41,000 for the dredging. We're actually coming in on your budget. A little over $2,000 on that. The scheme property was budgeted for 12.5. That one's coming in a little under $304. I also sent out your current account balances. At the moment, invoices have been paid. I can give you highlights as far as the monthly, since we haven't seen each other in a while, for January, February, March. These all include our normal utilities, which include waste management, Comcast, EverSource. The highlight in January was properties in right of way, cleanup, and miscellaneous purchases to buy the beaches. February, we did the dam inspection. March, we finished the dredging project. We gave the balance to J.D. Allegra for his contract. We also made a payment to Northeast Aquatic Research for their ongoing analysis, data analysis of lake surface. This month, properties taken down a little bit, and the balance of the stipends were paid.
That got better.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, everybody, just move it away. Thanks. Okay.
Okay. So that pretty much concludes my report. Everything is up to date. Ed and I have balance March as of March 31st. As always, anyone have any questions, you're certainly welcome to call me, email me. I'll do my best to answer any questions you may have.
Vice Bill President, thank you very much, Lee. If there are no questions, I will move on to our tax collector, Ed Bader.
Hold on, Ed. Hold on. Go ahead. Now we can hear you.
Ed Bader, tax collector. That cleared away. Tax collections to date are at 99.5%, with only one delinquent property tax account unpaid. This account was in the process of collection, as I reported at the unofficial meeting in February. It is subject to the tax sale procedure that I described at the last meeting. However, under Governor Lamont's executive order, I won't tell you which number it is. We're now all the way from A to Z. All tax sales were suspended until July 1st, 2020. If the suspension of the tax sales provisions in the general statute is lifted by the governor at that point in time, the process of collecting that one remaining account will continue. Under another executive order from the governor, he has ordered all municipalities to extend grace period for tax bills due now and through July 1st, 2020. This executive order did not originally apply to tax districts. I didn't lobby one way or another on that. But a subsequent executive order clarified the original order and made it clear that municipal tax districts, which we are, will follow the policy adopted by the town in which they are located. There are several parts of the order that the towns must adopt or not. Once the town of East Haddam has gone through its legislative process to adopt parts or all of the order, we will have to comply with whatever they do. And as of today, they were still in the process of working that out. Essentially, the main provision of the order is the extension of the grace period. So those of you who are willing to pay taxes, so the grace period in the past has been 30 days. So if you had paid your taxes by August 1st, you would not incur the delinquent interest charge. The governor has suspended that statute under his executive power, given the pandemic that the state is involved in, and therefore it has extended the grace period for a period of 90 days from July. Tax bills due on July 1st will not now be delinquent until October 1st. And it will take, assuming the panel agrees to that, and I'm sure they will, the little box that says when the grace period is up will say October 1st, 2020, and not August 1st. Okay. There are several other provisions that the town may or may not adopt. I must tell you that I've been on four very lengthy tax collector calls with tax collectors from, not all 169 towns, but certainly we've had some really big meetings because the original order was poorly worded, and a couple of people in the Office of Policy and Management decided that every property owner would have to apply for the exemption, and I think the majority of the tax collectors in the state and their legislative bodies will come to the conclusion that that was not necessary and that they will all adopt a should be applied to all property owners. Now, there is still an exception, but which doesn't apply to us because we don't escrow. No one escrows. No bank escrows the taxes to the district and the district. If you escrow your taxes to the town that you have, the bank will still have to meet the original due date of August 1st, as it's been explained to me. There are several other provisions, but I won't get into those because I want to wait and see what East Haddam does. Right, Bonnie, that completes my report. I'd be happy to take questions.
Bonnie, Sudell, President, are there any questions for our tax collector? Gemma, are you waving your hand?
Unmute him.
Hold on, there's
Emma has a question.
Emma, board member. Does the delinquency for the last year's July get a holiday as well, or is that now still continuing to add on interest for one who is not paid the interest?
Okay, let me see if I can explain that. In the order, in one account, that account was going through the process of tax sale. If they make a, they don't have to make the payment up through July 1st. They do not have to make a payment. If they were to make a token payment during the quarter, April, May, or June, the interest rate that they would pay on that delinquency, the remaining delinquency during just that period of 90 days, would be 0.25% instead of 1.5%. Okay?
In effect, that person must know that the original delinquency still continues.
Yes, it would be, but given the fact that they have been a chronic delinquent for the last 5 years, I do not expect them to make a payment, but if they do make a payment, they can avail themselves within that 90 days for the lower interest rate on their delinquency.
Well, President, are there other questions for our tax collector? I'm going to move on to committee. I see Janet raising her hand. Can somebody unmute Jan?
Unmute her. She's raising her hand, Jason.
I think you have to do it, Jan. Not letting me unmute you, Jan.
Okay, I'm unmuted. I'm unmuted now. I just wanted to try to help this buzz. Jeff, I'm going to jump in. This is Jan Pagrati, board member. Jeff, it looks like you're using your cell phone for this meeting, right? Are you using your cell phone? Could you move it farther away from you? Because it looks like you're working on a computer also.
You're muted, Jeff.
You're muted. Good.
You're muted, Jeff. You have to unmute yourself on the program.
I'm 15 feet away from my computer now, but I still hear that buzzing, so I must be somebody else. But I am on my cell phone. And I go up and I'm in my basement, but I had called here before, so. And I've done go-to meeting with me and Hema down here. There was no buzzing sound before.
Okay, sometimes if your cell phone connects to your computer, it'll cause buzzing, but...
Is it buzzing from anybody else? Has everybody else moved away from the computer?
I'm going to move mine farther away.
Yeah, mine's not here.
Okay, I don't know. Okay, I have to take it any more time. I thought I'd give it a try.
Yeah, I'm now 25 feet away from my computer and you still have the buzzing.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on.
It'd be just a bad connection with GoToMeeting.
Yep. Thanks. Bye, Jeff.
If you don't question again, I'll start meeting budget report. Ed Bader.
Thank you, Bonnie. Ed Bader, Budget Chair. Lee Griffin and I are in the process of re-estimating where we would stand at the end of the year. We are using the March 31st financial statements. We're going to ask each of the committee chairs and those of you who are responsible for budget line items to give us your best estimate of what you think you'll be spending throughout the balance of the year. Based on the preliminary estimate that Lee and I have done before we've gotten all the information, it looks like we will be underspent by at least $8,000 to $10,000. So we will only we will have a surplus at the end of the year, and we'll have a better handle on it next month. That's all I have.
Are there any questions for Ed and his budget report? If not, I shall I will call on Ed Bader again to make a report for LIT. Our representative Corinne Holliday was unable to be with us this evening, but she spoke with Ed this afternoon so that Ed could give a LIT report.
Just a minute, please, before we get my notes from her. The LIT committee has been doing a lot of work in summarizing the monitoring activities of the lake. Janet Prati is a member of the committee too. I am, and then there are a number of others, as well as two people from the other side of the lake, Mayor Toss and Tim Fulton. Janine Guinan, who's on that side. We have put together with our consultant, Northeast Aquatic Research, a presentation, which you can't see it, but it's a slide presentation that we will put up on the website. In addition to that, Tim and Wolf, for those of us who are not limnologists and just mere mortals, we've done this is sort of like a lake water testing for dummies. It's got a lot of pictures in it, and we'll put this up on the website once they've decided that they finally have gotten to a point where they want it. It's very good. It's very simple. It explains a lot. I got very excited by it, and I thought that that we should probably not only put it up on the website, but that we might consider doing a email blast, since everybody is in isolation. Give some of our property owners a chance to read it. And I also suggested to Wolf and Tim that we might consider doing a go-to meeting and having our limnologist, A.J. Rodriguez, who works for Northeast Aquatics, participate in the discussion. And we also, I think, we're considering that we might have him come to the June meeting. But on the other hand, if we can set up a go-to meeting for those people who are interested in the report, that might be where we get a smaller group, but we could do a several of these if the committee is so inclined. So that was pretty good. There's a lot of good material in the report. Some of the statistics go back to the year 2000, I think we also want to give I don't know if Felicia's still on, but Felicia or Randy especially. Randy Miller and Wolf have done just an outstanding job of collecting all of this data. Jan has done her part, and then there are others who have participated in the water collection effort. So it's really been a good team effort. I think we can all be proud of that, and we're going to be able to learn a lot more about the dynamics of the water quality and the algae bloom and everything else that's going on. Okay. Now, one other thing that I have for the committee is that this afternoon, Corinne sent me the static copy of a proposal from Northeast Aquatics Research. The LIC committee had asked Northeast to provide an estimate. And we, last year we did that, and we have in the budget money for Northeast, and we have money in next year's budget, and they basically assist us in doing the testing. They test it. We collect it. They test it. They put it up on their computers and give us an analysis of what's going on in the water. Now, this year, the committee decided to extend, the committee decided to extend the survey to more characteristics and to start in April and end in October. So we would have more information, because as we start to get more information, we get more data so that we can make some more better decisions about what we want to do about the quality of water in the lake. Now, the proposal that they submitted was for $7,630. We have money in the budget for this year. LIC has not spent anywhere near its budget. And there's money in next year's budget. The obstacle we have to overcome is that since it is $7,630, the bean counters say we have to go to competitive. We have to either go to competitive bidding, or we have to waive the board has to waive the competitive bidding requirement. So while we did not have that on the agenda for this meeting, I think it would be more appropriate to put the waiving of the consideration of the waiving of the competitive bidding onto the main meeting agenda, Bonnie, and there the board can deal with it. At the same time, we can circulate the proposal. To me, it looks like a reasonable proposal. We have used Northeast Aquatic Research for a number of years. I mean, our association with George Knockline, who is the principal limnologist, goes way back, I think, to probably the year 2000. So George has a lot of institutional knowledge, and his staff are very good. I think the committee is very pleased with the work that they have done. So the committee's recommendation at next meeting will be to waive the competitive bidding requirement. So we need to get it on the agenda first. Okay? With that, I am open to questions. Unmute them.
Unmuted.
Okay. Have we gotten our permit yet for treatment?
We have our permit.
Oh,
but I'm having trouble getting a copy of it.
Okay.
So, from Solitude. But today, I actually called them and said I want the permit. Because it's our permit. It's a 3-year permit.
Right.
But they should be able to give it to us. But here again, we have to be a little bit considerate, given we don't know what their staffing levels are in their office and whether or not they're doing everything remotely. So the permit could be sitting in the corporate office and everybody, all the staff are working from home. So we want to be a little bit considerate and not overly demanding.
Well, as long as it's in place, I think that's
muted.
Good.
Yes.
Unmuted.
Or Janet, unmute yourself. There.
Okay.
Yes.
I just want to...
Who are you?
This is
muted.
Dan Zapparati, board member at large. I just want to comment on the PowerPoint from... The LIC committee, I read it. It's an excellent PowerPoint. Just want to give my kudos. I already sent an email back to Wolf and Tim and told them that. But it's a very good PowerPoint, and I really support you guys having email blast and having it on the website. I think it will explain things very clearly and very well.
Yes, the more we can educate the members about the importance of what we're doing in the lake, the better off we will be. That concludes my report.
Bobby Seville, President again, are there any other committees that would like to make a report this evening? Gary, properties?
Yes, property, sir. Can you hear me? Okay. Just a couple things I want to go over real quick. A couple things we've done in the last few months. The picnic tables at the pavilion were staying. Did everybody hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Kathy and I did it. My Kathy. We did it a couple weeks ago. The trees were trimmed at, across from Little Beach there at Little Beach. And at the August meeting, the people across the street wanted them down, take some trees down. I talked to Tomorrow's Trees. I met with him there. He said there was no need to take them down, that you don't really want to take them down because then you're going to have a lot of erosion. And he just said, you know, I'll go up and trim all the dead wood on there. So they did. So that's all set. The first beach parking lights, yesterday they put in LED lights. They all got changed to LED lights. So that should save us money in the long run and hopefully be brighter. After me, I'm going to go up and see how bright they are. Couple of things coming up. I'm going to be buying. I'm going to buy some new swim lines and buoys this year. Going to get some sand, more sand on the beaches. And I'm also going to get a painter, get a price on staining the pavilion. It's been there about 8 years now, so it needs to be restained. So that's just some of the things that's going to happen in the next few months. And that's it. The other thing is next week, next Thursday, the bids are due for the third beach walkway there. So then we'll get an idea of how much that's going to be and award the bid soon after that. Okay, that's it.
Does anyone have any questions for Gary?
Hi, this is Jeff. Gary, can you give us an update on the signs going up? When do we think they'll all go up, finish things, put up, and do you need help?
They will be up by the June meeting, definitely.
Okay.
They're all going to be set by the June meeting.
Do you need any help in any
particular? I'll give you a call if I need some help. We'll probably have to do a little work.
We'll make sure to wear our masks, okay?
Come okay. Up. 6 feet apart.
All right. Thank you.
Yep. Anybody else? Okay.
Ted? Gary?
Yep.
Are you going to, the motion to waive the competitive bidding on the landscape contract?
Should I bring it up now, or should I bring it up for an old business, sir?
Which way do you?
Monty, how do you want to do that?
I actually had it under new business since.
Okay, fine.
Since the February meeting, you did not have a forum.
Okay.
I'll make sure that brings it up.
Okay.
Well, President, are there any other committees that would like to? Say anything. I see Jan is raising her hand.
Hey, Jan Prady, board member at large. A couple of items. One is for water collection. As usual, we follow the Chatham Health District schedule. Whatever they do this year regarding the coronavirus, we'll be following it. Kathy will still be doing the collecting. And the other one has to do with the voter registration books. I know that's part of the secretary's responsibilities, and I'll be turning it over to Kathy say go when we're both back at the lake, but in the meantime, we've gotten two voter registrations. One, the last name is Papalagio, not quite sure that's how you pronounce it, and the other one is, and I just got today, was April Poirier. I guess that's a relative of Karen Poirier on the phone, and so those are two new registrations this year. That is it. Any questions? Okay.
I'm Bill. Is there any other, is there any old business of importance that we would like to bring up?
I just want to touch base about this. I know Jason and I were talking about electronic spring packets. I think with the timing and everything, I never got back to him. I believe you had some family emergencies. And so with that and the timing, we're just moving forward. My understanding is with everything paper this year. Is that correct? As far as spring packets, paper.
Jason, board member. Actually, I sent out an electronic blast before the newsletter went out a couple weeks. We actually had, I think, about 60 to 70 people say they didn't want it mailed to them.
Oh.
And then since the newsletter went out, I've already gotten probably about 10 more. So we saved about $100 in mailing. Well, for this year, we saved about $85 for the ones we got prior to the mailing. But for next year, if we can get even more, I mean, there's no reason to send out, print out all that stuff and send it out. So, but we did save about $100, $85 in postage this year. Next year, we'll be able to cut down the printing costs if we can get even more people. So normally, we print enough for 429. We only sent 380 out.
I'm not clear, Jason. Are you speaking about the spring packet or the newsletter?
The spring packet.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, so we did send out an electronic spring packet this year.
Yes. I mean, it's not that we sent out, it's that it goes on the Lake Hayward website anyway, and we just sent out an email blast telling everyone, regardless if they're getting it in the mail or not, saying, hey, the spring packet is available on the Lake Hayward website. Click here to see it. The ones who said they didn't want it mailed didn't get it mailed this year. So there are people that didn't get it mailed this year.
Oh, great. Okay. Perfect. And you're keeping track of all of that. Yeah.
Yep. Some contact noting that they want electronic mailing.
Okay. This is Bonnie Segal, President. I know that this sounds silly, but every time you speak, you need to say, because this is not going to be a video recording on our website. It's going to be an audio recording. We need to have you identify yourself each time you speak, even if it's a back and forth conversation.
Hey, this is Janta Peretti, board member at large. I'm finished speaking. Just have any more questions or statements? Okay.
I'm Seattle President. Is there any other old business?
Thank you, Dion Camano, Vice President. Did we solidify that the gentleman from Bouvier Insurance will be attending the meeting with a monetary number for a rider on our insurance policy regarding swimming lessons, et cetera?
I'm Seattle President. Ed Bader, can you comment on this?
You're talking about the special events policy?
Yeah.
He's still working on that.
Okay. Cindy Biancomano, Vice President. But he will attend, right?
Ed Bader, yes. He will attend, and I will give him I saw your email. I will give him the correct dates. But I was just waiting a little bit before I did that, because I wanted to see what he what he comes up with. And if it's what he comes up with, first will come to the board, and then we'll have a further discussion of how much we want to discuss the at the June meeting.
I'm muted.
Kathy Sabo, board member. I just want to make sure that we all have the correct date for the June meeting. June 28th, is that correct? Fourth? Okay.
I'm still present in the very old.
Cindy DiAcomodo, Vice President. Sorry, I don't want to beat a dead horse. But I don't even know if this should go in at this point, but can we get a couple other competitive bids for that policy that Ed and I just spoke about so that we can really make a good presentation to the membership? I'd be willing to do it.
Kathy Sabo, I think that's a great idea.
A Bader tax collector. Cindy, I think that he will probably provide us with a couple of alternative quotes, and if you're, I don't think that the sports that package for the special events, the triathlon, and all of that is going to cost that much money. However, if it is significant, I will ask him if it's going to be a significant amount of money that he should get several quotes on that. Yes.
Cindy DiAcomodo, Vice President. And I think I'm more or less referring to the swimming lesson part of it more so than the daily special events, but that whole total thing.
Well, the swimming events thing will be separate. I don't know that he has not been able to get a quote on the swim instruction in open water. We know that swim policies are available for pools. You can, you know, they're online. You can go look at them. They're very small. But open water swim instructor policies are not, he says, are not generally available. Plus the fact, remember, no matter what you have, the extent of the liability of that. Remember, we discussed this in the informal February meeting that with a drowning, the extent of the liability is the last one that I was able to track in Connecticut was $12 million, and there's a suit in Fairfield for $35 million. So these are not small claims when you have a drowning. More in the case of the young college student who was submerged in Fairfield, he's in a comatose state and will be that way for the rest of his life. That's the $35 million policy or claim that they're making. Most of the other policies that are claims that are settled with no public disclosure. But the amount of money that has been paid on swim drownings across the country, the last number I saw was in the hundreds of millions of dollars. And I think that's what he told us, and that was why he was having difficulty getting coverage.
Cindy DiAcomodo, I understand. I'm just suggesting that we do all we can to explore, possibly with other agencies, just so that we have a definitive display for the membership to see that we've done our due diligence, and either it's absolutely not possible or it is possible at this cost, or here's three quotes that we got. I just think we should broaden our horizons a little bit and look into it.
All right, we will, Ed Bader, we will attempt to do that.
Go ahead, Jason.
I just want to make sure Cindy understands that from what I understand, and I haven't been involved in this as much, our insurance agent doesn't represent one company. He does represent anyone, so he can get however many quotes. So I'm thinking if he can't find one, it means it probably really isn't available. I don't know.
Right. Kathy Sabo, board member, but I also think that it doesn't hurt if Cindy, on her own time, wants to get some quotes. If she can find something, then why not? I say let's go for it. And I think Cindy should do it if she wants to. I think it's a why not? Well, I think
she can do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, Emma, hold on.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea because I think having the data is always a very, very strong argument. Sorry.
I'd like to move on to new business then. I'd like to start with Gary and the fund maintenance contract, please.
Okay, last meeting there, which was not a legal meeting, I guess, we had decided on, we had voted on 3 years, extending the contract 3 years. Talking to Ed, and he talked to the lawyer, we can do 2 years. We do three years or anything like that, we have to bring it up at the June meeting, which I really don't want to do. So I talked to the landscaper, he'll be happy with 2 years, he'll give us the same price, the 2 years. So we have to make a motion again. I'd like to make a motion that we move to waive the competitive bidding rule for the association's lawn maintenance contract and award the contract to American Pride for a two-year period commencing July 1st, 2020 through June 30th, 2022 at a fixed price of $13,025 a year. Any extra work over and above the contract price for work not specified in the contract will be negotiated and billed separately.
This is Bobby Smith, President. We have a motion on the floor. Do I have a second?
But actually, I want to make that... April 1st, it's already, we'll make it May 1st of 2020, because they start now, actually.
Jason Griffin, board member, I second the motion.
Thank you, President. Kathy, will you do a call of the board members to see if they vote yes or no.
Sure. Bonnie Sedell? Didn't hear you.
Yes.
Okay. Cindy Biancamato?
Yes.
Jeff Conway? Can't hear you.
Yes.
It's an audio recording, so he votes yes. Okay.
Excuse me. He must unmute himself.
Yeah.
So that Kathy can hear him.
Can't hear you.
Oh. Okay. It went green. Yes, I approve the. I approve that motion.
Thank you.
Well,
Jan DePratty. Yeah.
Jeffrey, you have to identify yourself.
Oh, Jeffrey Conway.
Okay. DePratty.
Jan DePratty, board member at large. I agree and approve the motion.
Hema DeSilva.
Hema DeSilva, board member. Yes, I approve.
Jason Griffin.
Jason Griffin, board member. Yes, I approve.
Gary Peterson.
Gary Peterson, board member, yes, I approve.
And Kathy Sabo, board member, yes, I approve. That's everybody.
Muted.
President, the motion carried unanimously. The next topic, Ed, our tax collector would be on the reallocation of funds.
Okay, I circulated a memorandum to all of you, Ed Bader, tax collector, budget chair, circulated a memorandum to you and put it up on the website, which basically we need to keep two projects going, which is the preliminary analysis of improvements to the dam by Carl Asimovic, who's our consulting engineer. The cost of these services would not exceed $1,800. We talked about this and did it at the February meeting, but we need to do it again. He will present his report to the board at a future meeting, and then we will have a presentation at the June association meeting. This report will be the starting point for an application to deed for the authorization to rebuild the eastern spillway of the dam and other needed repairs and maintenance. The second project was the preparation of a filing with the town of East Adams Wetlands Commission to construct the biodetention basin on the Hayfield Road property. The association purchased last fall. It includes retaining Mr. Asimovic as an engineer. We need a soil scientist to obviously certify to the wetland character of the lot. And then we need a topographical survey of the property, just as we had to do one for the dam. We have to do one for this particular property because topographical things are needed by the Wetlands Commission, and that's a part of their requirement. So I had estimated that, and then there'll be an application fee to the Wetlands Commission. In this particular case, Asimovic would also present its findings to the board and to the association members. We're trying to do all of this to get the stage set so that we go to the members in June and explain what we're trying to do, and then if they're so agreeable, we would then be able to put it on the association annual meeting for the commitment of funds, whatever they come up with the estimated cost for both the reconstruction of the eastern spillway and also the biodetention basin. You will also recall that last fall, outlined in the memo, that the town asked us for to submit capital projects. We submitted three capital projects, one of which was the $50,000 reconstruct of the eastern spillway. The second one was the construction of the biodetention basin. And the third one was to basically correct the drainage issues on Haywoodville Road, which is really our undermining and eroding our head walls of both the eastern and western spillway. We asked the town to basically provide a half of each one of those, the two costs, the eastern spillway, $25,000 we'd like from them, and we'd like $12,500 for the biodetention basin. When we go to them, now we don't know whether or not the town will agree to that or not, but we need to get it all set up so that as we move forward with the permitting applications, we'll be in a position. Yeah, I'm still on. I'll be in the office in a few minutes. We'll be able to show the town what it would cost. We'll be in a position to go out and get competitive bids if and when the membership approves it, and also we get our permits from in the wetlands and the ND. So to that end, we're offering a motion to approve approximately. I rounded it with a contingency in it for $10,800 to cover these projects, and we have the money in the budget. There is excess funds in the budget to do that. Perfect.
Sorry, Mr. President. So basically, your motion is to reallocate money from the budget in the amount of $10,800 to cover those projects?
Yes, exactly.
Bonnie Fidel, President, I will second that motion. Is there any discussion? Kathy Sable, would you go through the board members and
unmuted.
A or nay on...
I think Hema wanted to say something. Kathy Sable, Hema, did you want to say something?
I would just like to know, is that provision within the our rules and regulations to do the reallocation within the board? Or is this something, is there a particular dollar amount above which you have to go to the membership?
No, this is Ed Bader of the budget. The board has the ability to reallocate the budget as long as we don't go over the total budget.
Okay, thank you.
And so, President, is there any other discussion?
Ed Bader, Bonnie, a board member needs to make the motion. I'm not a board member.
Thank you, President. Thank you, Ed. I will then make the motion that to reallocate budget in the amount of $10,800 to cover two projects. That our tax collector and budget chair has just discussed.
I'll second the motion. Kathy Sable, I will second the motion.
Coming to that, President, is there any further discussion? If not, I would ask Kathy Sable to get a vote.
Okay, Kathy Sabo asking Bonnie Sedell.
Bonnie Sedell, yes.
Cindy Biancomano.
Yes.
Jeff Conway.
Yes.
Jan DePratty.
Say your name.
Jan DePratty.
Jan DePratty, board member. Yes.
Hema De Silva.
Hema De Silva, board member, yes.
Jason Griffin.
Jason Griffin, board member, yes.
Jerry Peterson.
Jerry Peterson, board member, yes.
Kathy Sabo, board member, yes.
That's everybody muted.
Janice Cranny, board member. Janice Cranny, board member, do we need to go back and ask Cindy and Jeff again to vote to take their names first? Everyone be a picky.
Cindy votes yes.
Jeffrey Conley votes yes.
President, thank you. Kathy, may I assume that that was also unanimous?
Yes.
Unmuted.
Kathy Sabo, yes.
I'm the President, and that motion also passes. The last item that I have on new business, the board became aware today that the town of East Chatham has basically closed all of its beaches, parks, recreation areas, any areas that will promote congregation and have the potential for there being cross-contamination. We had been talking about what we were going to do this summer in light of the COVID pandemic, and we felt that we should follow the lead of the town of East Chatham, the Chatham Health District, and our governor in what they were doing. And it came to, as I said, it came to our attention today that East Chatham has basically closed everything except for passive recreation. So I would like to make the following motion that following the lead of the town of East Chatham, I move that we close all PLA-OH beaches, parking lots, the pavilion, tennis courts, basketball court, the place gate, the volleyball court, and the athletic field. Further, that we leave the porta potties locked and not put out the raft and swim lines at this time. I should be able to say I have a second on it.
I'm unmuted. This is Jeffrey Conley, board member. So do we have discussion on that, or does someone have to accept that motion? Then we do discussion on that. I don't know the proper Robert's rules for this.
By Mr. Bill, President, we need to have a second before we can have discussion.
Okay, this is Jeffrey Conley, board member. I second that. So,
hey, this is Jan DeCrady. I'd like to discuss. Board member, I'd like to have a little discussion. The question I have is, will kayak and boat still be allowed to be raft and used? And I'm hoping it would be, because people are going to be 15 feet away and it's not community, they're not going to be on the beaches, but I don't know. I would hope that at least we could let people raft their canoes and kayak and, you know, little fishing boats and...
Gary Peterson, board member, too late now because most of rafts are already filled with kayaks, and a lot of people put the boats already, so that would be almost impossible. I mean, take all those kayaks out, that would be very difficult.
Yeah. I think you're going to have a war, a Jantifrey board member. I think there's a lot of rebellion.
Yeah, I would just leave the kayaks, I think, yeah.
Kevin wants to speak.
Yep.
Thank you, board member. I can just only relate to what's happening out here in where we are at the moment in North Carolina. Under the governor's regulations, they had allowed the boats to go out, and after the first week, they stopped it and put in a fine, and they closed the marinas. They are beginning to talk about reopening the marinas, but they haven't done that yet. The reason being that the people were not following the regulations for social distancing once they got on the boats. They had parties on little islands close by here, and that kind of thing happened. So they had no choice but to. Of course, in the case of the lake, we don't have that issue. However, it depends on the people's behavior. If the people behave and take the seriousness of the situation and act accordingly, then I think it's a go. If not, that might be a concern. Thank you.
Jason Griffin, board member. I think this is a little weird situation because we have one side of the lake as the association, one side of the lake not an association. So you're going to have the other side of maybe using their boats and putting out their pontoon boats, and the other side not putting on a ton. So I think, again, the voting issue might be kind of an issue that we have to just maybe let people do it.
And you also have the... Sorry. Dan, go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Jan DeCrady, board member. A couple of things. I'm assuming that people, their pontoon boats or whatever, and they're going to put them out in the water. It's from their own property, so it's kind of, I should say, it's their own business. But at the same time, I'm wondering, putting these in, and I'm not saying yes or no, but following these regulations, how are they going to be enforced? And this is kind of a separate subject. For instance, you say the beaches are closed, and you get groups of 6-7 people, and they're ideally sitting all 6 feet apart. How are we going to enforce it? I mean, would we be employing town police? Would the town police do that on their own? I'm just throwing the question out, throwing the issue out to the group.
Mr. Bill Person, I see Gary, can you have your hand up?
Yeah, Gary Peterson, board member. Once the boats are out in the water, we really don't have any control over it. We don't own the water. So once they get out in the water, if they be grouped together, that's not any of our business, really. And as far as controlling anything, the only thing we can lock up is the tennis courts. We can lock the tennis courts up. it'd be very, very hard to enforce people going on the beaches. You know, we put signs up, but I don't know who's going to go around to enforce it if people want to go on the beach. That's it.
Yeah, Kathy Stengel. I know that this is a very hard time, but I guess I don't agree with closing the beaches. I guess I'm going to be the one to go out on it here. But, I mean, yes, I think that we could keep the latrines locked and maybe cordon off the playscape. But, I mean, to close the beach, I know, I just think that hopefully people will, you know, keep their distance. But as Hema said, maybe they won't. I don't know. But I don't know. I think we should try and see, you know, how it would go. I don't agree with closing the beaches or the basketball court or the tennis court. It's outdoor activity. Two people, fine. You know, I don't know. But that's just my opinion. So.
Jeff, I'll get you off. Vice President, I just want to say that we have already had complaints. There are people at the basketball court in more the current edict is not going to have five people congregating. If you're really only supposed to be with the people that are in your community and in your immediate household, my proposal would be that if this were approved, that it would go up on the website. We'd have a feedback class and on our official Facebook page, and that if there are people who are not following the social distancing rules and are congregating, that we call the police. We cannot enforce it other than just calling the police.
Jason is waiting before me.
I may not know this yet, so maybe this is going to take more. Jason Griffin, board member. We may have to get some more direction from the town, but can the town force us to follow their edict since we are in the town, even though we're private property and not a town, lake, or pond, or beach? So we may not have a choice. I don't know. I kind of see it, too, kind of like Kathy, if people want to go out and, you know, maybe even put warning signs saying, please be aware of social distancing. We may have to go with what the town makes us do. We may not have a choice. I don't know. We just found out today, so we may need to look into it more before we actually make a decision.
This is Jeffrey Conley, board member. I am split on this. I think the spaces that you can lock, I mean, I'm not worried about events. This is not me saying, oh, no, what am I going to do with events? That's not the issue at all. You know, whatever's going to happen, you know, by July 1st when the first event happens, we may be in a different state of community. So I'm not worrying about that at all. I do think that there's some places you can perhaps lock up, maybe the tennis court. I don't think, or even the basketball court. But I don't think you can say no cars in the parking lot or nobody under the pavilion because you can't put a gate around it or something. I think signage should certainly be per so-and-so order, you know, you can maybe lift the ball field is off limits. The grass grounds are off limits. You can't put a cage around the volleyball court. So I think it's premature to just go with what you're saying, Bonnie, of that's how it's going to be. We're going to do what the government is. I know we're in the municipality, which is what Ed has already told me. But I certainly think you can, maybe if you make the motion that you want to do that, but case-by-case basis to be looked at every month. Because COVID is awful. But COVID will not be around the entire summer, and everybody's saying, you know, you have so many people saying to September, October, you know, that's all, you know, hearsay until it happens. But I think it's premature to just carte blanche say close it. I like the idea of the conversation, and I disagree with the motion as it stands now.
Jan Zacredi, board member. I think as far as you know what to do, I don't mean right at this moment, but as far as to a gate, it may need more discussion with town saying, you know, we're thinking of doing this. What do you expect of us? Or how can you help us enforce it? Or does it need to be enforced? Kind of what the legalities are Maybe Ed can talk to our lawyer. I don't know. But I think that we need to have a little more discussion with somebody outside of just our group as to what we should do and can do and ought to do. We kind of need to know, because some people have different feelings at different levels as far as morally, you know, and socially. So I think maybe a discussion with a lawyer, discussion with the town. As far as the motion right now, I kind of agree with Jeff. I think at this moment in time, I would not vote for it, but I'm hoping maybe if we have to relook at it again in 2-3 weeks, before the May meeting, that if we need to, we can do an ad hoc meeting and look at it again. But since some people are coming down already, you know, we haven't had, you know, the swim line, the gate in the swim line isn't up yet. I think we can wait to make a decision until we get closer to that time.
Gary? Yeah, Gary Peterson, board member. Yeah, I kind of agree. I think we just found out today. I think it might be a good idea to talk to our lawyer, see what our problems could be if we leave them open. I don't think there'll be so many people on the beach for the next month. You know, we could wait till May to decide. We usually open the porta potties May 1st. We can cancel that and wait. Now I'm not going to put out the swim lines or anything till the end of May. So I think maybe we should think about it a little bit and maybe look into it a little bit more and wait till May.
Go ahead, Nina.
Chairman, this is our board member. I think one of the issues that comes up clearly is that we have the private and the public partnership here around the lake. There are private homes that they will be able to use the water without too much issues. On the other hand, if there are regulations from the governor by executive order or whatever and by the town of East Haddam, then obviously everybody is bound by some of those. So until we have a clear idea of exactly what's happening, we probably need to defer this at this point.
Jeffrey Connie again, board member. I agree with Hema for the reason of, you know, you'll have people that will just, you know, who are the surrounding towns of where we are, that come in to just use the beach because they know they can use the beach before. That's why I think, you know, signage will be good, you know, to whom it may concern or something, when you have to put up some sort of signage for it, because there are people from, you know, Farmington and Glastonbury and, you know, lots of other towns that will come in and use that beach just going for the day and park it. We wish we wouldn't park it, but we know it happens. There are people who visit our community that not are a part of our community.
Chanda Craddy, board member. The only other comment I have, I just got to thinking about it, was the fact about people now congregating on the beach now, right? So what do we do tomorrow if 6 people congregate on the beach and they, you know, want to have some beers and look outside? I mean, my answer to that is don't post anything. It's kind of not the official summertime at the lake. And if police go by, let them deal with it. I hate to... I'm usually more proactive in things like this, but since this is such a gray area, I would wait until it's a little more in our face and you know, vote on it.
I should go, President. I think it's going to be very much in our face tomorrow when they turn the water on, and I think it's going to, I believe that there are a lot of people that are not practicing social distancing. I do understand that this motion, I can tell already this motion is going to be defeated, but I think it's a mistake for us not to follow what the town of East Haddam is doing. If they have closed their beaches and their parks, I strongly believe that we should also close our beaches and our parks so that we can slow the spread of this COVID-19 virus.
I just want to know, maybe after more discussion, I think it would make sense before a vote. I mean, I'm going to vote no if it comes up, come up for a vote, because I would like more discussion with the town and also with the lawyer, you know, as to what to do. I, speak clearly from the town as to what we need to post, how it should be enforced, etc. I feel like I'm in the dark as to action to enforce it.
This is Jeff Conway. I agree with Jan. I think more information could be ascertained, and I think, Bonnie, we could probably, through email, because we often do a lot of things through email and say, yes, I agree to this, agree to that. You know, we could by email communicate in the next week when we find out more information of what the town really wants us to do or something, and then try and put something together that way.
Bonnie, yeah. Hammond is a board member. I think clearly if the town does make a recommendation that they're closing all the beaches and parks and whatever other social situation, then we have a little bit more of clarity as to what we can recommend to our members. And we can let them know that because of the town need, that we are forced to at least put warning signs and close as best we can, realizing that it is not something that people will not disobey. They may still go ahead and do things, and I don't know that we can be reliable on those occasions, but we can certainly take the stand that we will warn the folks that the social distancing rules and regulations put out by the town and by the state need to be followed.
Kathy Sable, board member. And I mean, we can also let the population of Lake Hayward know that the town of East Haddam has closed all their beaches. You know, let them be aware that this is what the town of East Haddam has said. We don't officially, say we're closing our beaches. But certainly I wouldn't open up any of the porta potties. No, I think that's a bad move.
Yes, Steve.
I've made the motion. It was seconded. We've had quite a bit of discussion on it. I would like to move to vote now.
Okay, voting on the motion. Bonnie Sedell?
Yes.
Cindy Biancomano?
Cindy Biancomano, Vice President. No.
Jeff Conway?
Jeff Conway, no.
Jan DePratty?
Jan DePratty, board member, pending more discussion with the town and understanding the amount of enforcement we need to do, no.
Hima De Silva?
Hima De Silva, board member, no for now until we have more clarity from the town and from the state.
Jason Griffin?
Jason Griffin, board member, no for now, again, until we get more information.
Gary Peterson?
Gary Peterson, board member, no for now.
Kathy Sabo, votes no. That's everyone. Just one yes.
And the motion did not carry. Is there any other new business? Jason, Lee, whoever.
Yes. I was approached by Chris from All Waste, who was approached by a homeowner on Glimmer Glen that owns a lot. They would like to put their garbage out on Glimmer Glen. They have a year-round house on Haywardville Road. I need to give Chris an answer whether or not this lot owner will have the ability to their crap and pick it up by our always service.
Yeah, my personal feeling is they own a property at the lake. They pay their taxes. They have the ability to go to all the events. They have the ability to camp on their lot. You know, the fact there, it's part of their association tax, which they're paying. They pay less than everyone else because their property is not worth as much as everyone else. So my feeling was that they are allowed to.
Well,
replace.
You know, President, is there anyone that would object to having them put their garbage out on rumored land?
Clearly, I think there are situations that warrant some exceptions. What I don't want to have happen is that everybody on Hayward Mill thinks that we can bring their garbage down to Glimmer Glen then. So, I don't know where the house is that's in question, that they are trying to find a way out of their predicament, but I do understand that. I think what we don't want to have is create a precedent that might then have other people bringing their refuse and garbage onto the road.
Jason Griffin, board member. I think Hema, they do own a lot on Glimmer Glen. Fordville Road owns a lot on Glimmer Glen. So people, other people bringing their garbage, unless that particular person, their neighbor do it too or something, but if we can stop anyone, we have neighbors that their properties look like junk and all that, we have no control over it. So that's my thought.
Thanks.
Hey, Jerry,
this is
Julia.
I got you.
Lee Griffin, Chris, and I hope if it got out of hand to let you know and I could bring back to the board that her decision was made. Some more information. I had quite a conversation with Chris. I agree and said he will pick it up, and if it is a
You're not talking. A lot of background noise all of a sudden.
I'm sorry. Can you keep the volume down? Yes,
he's going across again.
Bonnie Sudell, President, everybody please mute themselves unless they are talking. Lee, I did not understand the last statement that you made.
Lee Griffin Treasurer. I spoke with Chris from Always. He brought up the question of the homeowner putting the garbage out on Glimmer Glen. I told him as a homeowner, I didn't really see an issue that I would bring it to the board. However, if he found that they were dumping multiple cans or brush or any other item that he would not pick up, to let us know and I would bring it back to the board. And we could decide at that time what needed to happen.
Mm-hmm. I'm Bonnie Sudell, President. Is that acceptable to people?
Yeah, I think that, Hemant is a law board member. I think that would be a good compromise for now. We'll see how things we can monitor. If there's a problem, then we can get back on it.
Thank you. Lou, do you have your direction on this?
Yes, I will be happy to follow up with the homeowner and let them know and give them some guidelines of normal trash pickup recyclables, no brush, no dumping of furniture. I'm sure they will be respectful of that.
Bonnie Sudell, President, thank you. Is there any other new business? Kathy Sable,
board member. Two things. First, I just wanted to say before we end for the night, which I'm sure will be soon, that Hema De Silva was not present during the roll call when we first started the meeting, but I just wanted to let it be known that he did enter the meeting at 7:08 p.m. Okay. And also, in the spring packet under the pavilion reservation, it listed the new things that were supposed to, were changed about the lease and hold harmless agreement. And then it said that the requirement to provide evidence documentation of the lessee's homeowner's insurance coverage of a minimum liability of $500,000 or a minimum liability limit of $300,000 plus a copy of the lessee's umbrella policy declaration page showing a minimum limit of $1 million is part of that now. But we never voted on that because that's not something I would have agreed to. I know we voted on the $75 and not charging for the pavilion. But that we had discussion on, and I know that Bill had mentioned, and I agreed with Bill that, you know, that having that, you're cutting out some people from actually renting the pavilion. So I'm not sure how that got in there, because we never voted on it, or that wasn't part of the voting. So, yeah.
Did Jason?
Jason Goodring, board member. Yeah, it may have been that it was the meeting Lee and I missed, but like, I wouldn't have voted that for that either.
Yeah.
I don't know where it came from.
And it wasn't a legal meeting anyway, so even if we voted, it wouldn't matter.
Yeah.
This is Jeffrey Conway, board member, so I'll comment on that, and I had another issue within this category. Also, I've had some people call me about wanting to do the reservation, asking about the insurance thing, and I agree with Kathy. We never voted on the insurance. We voted on maybe increasing the $50 fee to $75. Our, that vote, I never remember any vote that we had to provide these huge, you know, homeowners insurances, and the people who did want to, who's been renting at the pavilion for a very long time, you know, years and years, we said we couldn't produce that, and they thought that was really rather unfair and wanted that to be no, rectified, and I agree. It was never voted on. And the other issue I wanted to put up on this, on the new businesses, I got a lot of complaints from people who, in the articles, I think it's on page 2 about absentee ballots. You want to stop absentee ballots. I've gotten 3 or 4 complaints that they're totally dead set against it, and they say, no, voting members who pay taxes, people who pay taxes, they'd be able to do absentee ballots when they want, and they wanted to either put on the June meeting for further discussion, but they're really angry, and they said they'll tell all the people about it. There'll be more of an uproar. I know the spring packet just came up. I did want to put that in so that next month we could talk about it as over.
Yeah, we're
to my knowledge, they can use an absentee ballot, but they have to be notarized. Am I wrong? I think that's in our charter or our bylaws. Am I correct on that?
Yeah.
I should know, President, we are talking about the bylaw revisions that came out in the spring packet. And yes, there are absentee ballots in the spring packet now. There are absentee ballots in the bylaws now, yes. They do need to be both notarized.
I don't have a feeling either way on this, but I think it's funny people are complaining when we've actually never had anyone use an absentee ballot ever.
I used to go president, and all the time that I was a secretary clerk, we did not have the only person that ever used an absentee ballot. I can only remember one in all the time that used an absentee ballot. Are there any other comments? Yes, Gary.
The board member. We discussed the insurance. What are we going to do about that? Are we going to change it? I guess it was an illegal meeting, so we did vote on it illegally.
We didn't vote on it.
Do we want to vote again? We're
going to
do something different.
I'm still president. I almost think that it's a moot point because I don't know what we're going to be having for gatherings down at the pavilion, but we can certainly put it on the agenda to discuss it at the main meeting if that is the desire of the board.
Ed Bader. I put it on the agenda for the main meeting. And I'll go through the reasons why we're doing that. which are the fact is that we make everybody else who uses the pavilion provide a provide evidence of insurability. And if you look around for the hundreds of homeowner associations that are around, they're doing exactly what we're trying to do, is put the liability, the responsibility for the liability on the people who rent the pavilion and not back on the association. Remember, we only have one carrier who we could, when we try to get four or five quotes, we only got one carrier because of the risks involved in our association, and all we're trying to do is minimize the liability. All of the people who have cottages have to have insurance, and they should have insurance at least at $300,000, if not $500,000, on their primary residence and probably on their secondary residence. But ultimately, if the board decides that the board wants the association to take on all that liability, that's the board's decision, and the board has to be responsible for that decision.
Jeffrey Conley, board member. I think you know, certainly more discussion is warranted for this the reservation form for the pavilion thing. I also think, since you are going to summer, even if we had COVID and everything, that probably something could be sent out as, you know, what Jason does as a blitz of stuff, because we never voted on that, and it's in the articles, which is like, you know, it shouldn't be in the articles. It's in the spring packet. So something should be said, because people who have always been trying to get reservations aren't doing it anymore. And I also think maybe what we could do is take that the reservation form as insurance and just put up, you know, and talk to our agent that you can have a waiver. There could be a waiver in there that a legal waiver is binding. You know, if you put it on your form, it's a legal waiver that they can sign off with that verbiage from our attorney or insurance, that's going to cover you. That will cover you. And so I think there's just other ways that it can probably be taken care of, and I just wanted to give my voice. Thank you so much.
Mr. Bell, President, I think Mr. Stapleton has been up for a while, and then
Kathy Sable, board member. I just want to do something right now, because it is in the spring packet, to let people know that this is not policy, because it's a problem. So whether we do it with an email blast, send out an email, whatever, within the next week, we can also, in that email blast, let them know the correct date of the June meeting, you know, because I know that was in the packet as well as June 21st instead of June 28th. And maybe we can also let them know that, you know, we are going to be bringing to the June meeting someone who is going to speak to them about insurance possibilities for swim lessons, you know, because that wasn't in the spring packet either, you know. So we'll let people know that we are working for them and with them on behalf of them, which communication is a good thing. So I would like to do something right now about this and let people know that it's not part of our policy. I don't know how it got in the spring packet. It shouldn't have been in the spring packet. Jason, go ahead.
Yeah, but I'm on the same vein as Kathy and Mike. If parties happen down at the pavilion with or without a reservation, there's always people down there partying. So why make some of them have insurance and some of them not, just because they said, oh, I want to use it at a specific time, when every night there's people down there doing their own little parties, and they don't have insurance for it. So it seemed right that some people do it and some people not.
If it stays a while, I will have quite an email that I'm going to have to get together here, or an email blast to send out. Is there any new business?
Kathy Stable, Bonnie, do you want me to get an email together and I could forward it to you and you could review it and be happy to do that for you? As secretary.
Bonnie, to go personally, I think I'll be happy to put that together, Kathy. Thank you.
Yeah, Kennedy City Law Board member. Bonnie, I read the email that you got from Mr. Murphy regarding sending something out about the seasonal usage. He also failed to realize in that letter, when he talked about taxes, that people are paying fewer taxes or smaller segments of tax if they're seasonal, which is not true. Seasonal homeowners, as well as the others, pay a full year's tax, whether they are there or not. So, town does not discriminate between seasonal homes and the others. So, as you respond to him, I just thought it might be an opportunity to educate him that some of the statements made by him are untrue. And certainly, I think it was not a very nice email to send with all kinds of personal attacks on you personally. It should not have been there. Just a comment that I want to share with you. Thank you.
This is Jeffrey Conley. I sent that email to Bonnie. I'm sorry he said that stuff to you. That was just out of line, personal attack. We'll throw some mud in his head, maybe.
Jason Griffin, board member. Yeah, I think the one thing he's forgetting is that these aren't people just visiting, like the people that are going to Rhode Island and getting stopped at the border just because they're going to visit. These people are legal owners of property, and they have every right to go to their property. You can't keep them away from their property.
Kathy Sabo, board member. This is off topic of what Hema was just saying, but before we go, I also wanted to make sure that we didn't talk anything about the property encroachment topic that was so passionately talked about at the beginning of our meeting, so we cannot drop the ball on this, and I think we need to make sure it's front and foremost at our next meeting, and we need to talk about it, and we need to have ideas. I think we all need to come up with some ideas of how we're going to move with this going forward, because I think that these people deserve our due diligence.
Chairman, this is Labani. Thank you. I think Kathy is right. I think they need to be discussed. I personally couldn't see all the details that they were showing. I didn't have the pictures, but I will take a look at it. I made some notes for myself so I can look at them. But at some point, I think there needs to be a lot more discussion with the property owners around there to kind of determine what we can come up with. And maybe the forum may not be in this kind of setting, but face-to-face, so people can sit down and chat freely and discuss how it can be resolved. Clearly, they seem to have a side that they feel very passionately about.
Okay,
Chanda Craddy, board member. I agree that further discussion needs to be done about this. They're very passionate. They do have a side that when hearing it, it sounds very valid. So I can go on, but I don't want to start the discussion now. So that's all I have to say. I agree with Hema. Thank you.
Is there anything else before we bring the meeting to a close? Bonnie, to go president, I would like to say that our next meeting will be May 16th. That is a Saturday morning. I anticipate that will be a go-to meeting also. Since that will be the date that, according to our governor, non-essential business, that's the date of the lifting of the essential businesses only being open. That may change, but I'm sure that we're still going to be doing social distancing. So plan on having a go-to meeting on May 16th. And if there is, yes, Jan.
comment. Virginia, where I am now, has extended their stay at home to the end of June. So, I mean, so I just want to, our governor, the governor here is very conservative, and our rates are lower than, Virginia's rates are lower than Connecticut by almost a half. So I just want to throw that out there. On a personal note, we're heading up in 2 weeks, but that's something different. Okay, that's all.
Mm-hmm. Can we explore a different platform for our next meeting, like Zoom or something? Because this GoToMeeting sucks.
Zoom is horrible.
I use it all day long for my work meetings, and the quality of the audio is better, the quality of the video is better.
Okay, I've had issues with Zoom. I think it depends maybe on where your internet is or something.
I don't know, but
I had it worse than this when we use Zoom.
Kathy
Sable. I think somebody in that had issues too.
Kathy Sable, I've used Skype, Zoom, and GoTo, and they're all the same.
I think it's because so many people are using them now, it depends how much traffic there is, because
I agree.
Millions are using all of them now, so if it's a busy night for video meetings, it's not good. If it's a slow night, it's good.
Thank you, President. Is there anything else? I would like to adjourn the meeting then at 9:08 p.m. Thank you, everyone.
I guess I'll second that.
Amen, everybody. Yep.
We love you, Bonnie. We love you, everybody.
Take care.
Tom, you did a great job tonight.
Thanks.
You did a great job being thoughtful.